Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 2, let us stand together as we read the first six verses, if you're able. And I understand totally if you're unable. But Ruth chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together as we again look into the book of Ruth. And Lord, may we draw encouragement from this young woman who was willing to come with Naomi back to a land that was not her land of nativity, but Lord, to a land that was strange. And Lord, we pray that we could be testimonies to those who have come to our land, and may we be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for this service. We ask, Lord, you would bless it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's continue reading at verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather among the reapers, among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people that which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense of thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And down to verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. We saw first that she was a young widow. And we know that widowhood, it was not easy in that day. And if a widow did not have a son that could take care of her financially, she would oftentimes become a burden to the group of the people at that place. And we find next that she was a faithful daughter-in-law, not willing to leave Naomi, but was willing even to come back to Judah and Bethlehem. Then last week, we saw her as the humble gleaner. We saw her saying, I need to go. And Ruth knew that to eat, she needed to go to the fields and gather grain that had fallen from the reaper's bags. You know, we are greatly blessed in America with an abundance of food. I was reading yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, and it was talking about the fact that the average American family wastes up to $2,000 worth of food a year. That they buy food that they never use, especially vegetables and fruits, that get to the point where they don't use it and throw it out. And some would call us a land of waste. Well, when you have an abundance, sometimes you really don't think about it. They have talked about the fact of people coming from foreign countries and where they are not as blessed, and having taken them to a grocery store, and as they look at the shelves full of bread, they will break out in tears because where they've come from, bread was at a premium. And here we take it so much for granted. We are so blessed. We can go over here to Kroger's, and eggs right now are at a ridiculously low price. What, $49 a dozen. An extra large, 59 cents a dozen. That's pretty hard to beat, isn't it? We find that milk is available, and there is so much. Well, we live in a very blessed society, and we really shouldn't take it for granted. She knew that she had to go and gather grains, and she was not self-conscious that she was a stranger in their midst. You know, sometimes when a strange female, when I say strange, I'm talking about someone that is not part of your culture, comes in, and she is there, and especially if she is rather attractive, we find that the guys are interested and the girls are what? Jealous. And it works the same way. If a young man comes in and there are people, the females are interested, the guys will become jealous. But she was not self-conscious. She was not ashamed to acknowledge her condition and status as one in need. I believe there are people who do not come to the Lord because they don't want to admit that they have a need. But the fact of the matter is we all have a need. There's a void in all our lives that only the Lord can fill. There are many voids in life, but there is a spiritual void. And sometimes we try to fill it with religion, but religion will not fill the void. We will try to fill that void with entertainment, or we will try to fill it with work, or we will try to fill it with alcohol or drugs, or we will try to fill it with money or knowledge, but it will not be filled except by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a need that can be filled only by Him. And she was also not embarrassed by the comments of the workers on the farm. Now you can imagine she has come from Moab, and everybody knows everybody here in Bethlehem. It's not that big a place. And Naomi has returned, and she has told the ladies, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because she is bitter. And yet with this woman that they know, here comes a woman, and we're going to say that she was attractive. Is it all right if I say she's attractive? I mean, Boaz is going to be attracted to her quite quickly, and being that he was a landowner, and the Bible says he was a mighty man of wealth, I would imagine he would have had his pick. And I don't mean to demise or make little belittle women, but I think that oftentimes when a woman is pretty, she does gather the attention of others, right? All of you would know that, right? Am I doing okay? I want to be careful here. And I'm sure there would be comments like, what is she doing here? Or she better not take my boyfriend, because you can imagine that some of the maidens probably like some of the guys that are gleaning in the field, right? Would you agree to that? And they probably would say, you better not be looking at my guy. Yeah. And yet she was not embarrassed by their comments. She had come for a purpose. She'd come to work. There is a job to be done, she says. And then Boaz, when he learns of her, tells her not to be afraid of the young men because he had warned them not to touch her. In other words, they're not going to flirt with you. They're not going to come around and touch you because guys like to touch girls. It's just the way it is. They're not going to touch you. How many believe that family is important? I mean, you really believe that family is important. Now, that's not a trick question, but it's a trick question. Because I believe family is important, right? Family is important. Family is one's kindred, one's relation, or one's house. How many of you believe that marriage is at the crossroads in America right now? That marriage is at the crossroads, because a lot of society is saying, you don't have to get married. You know, one of the problems is so many people get married today with the attitude, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, and some of you have gone through divorce, and I know it's been hard on you. And for some of you, you were the wounded party. But I believe that the Lord established the family. That he brought Eve to Adam for a purpose. And they were the first family. And they were to cleave. He was to cleave to her, and she was not supposed to fight it. I read these six ingredients for a strong family the other day, and I thought that as we're talking about Boaz and we're talking about Ruth and how they are going to come together eventually. Oh, did I spoil the end of the story? And I thought about the fact how important family is. First, the members of the family should strive to like each other and express their appreciation one for another. You know, one thing I have found is not every family likes each other. I have found through the years that there are siblings that don't talk to each other. And I find that sad. Now, I understand why it happens. But I think that we should strive to be close with our family. Do you believe that politeness is always a plus? Politeness. We live in a very impolite society. We were talking a while back to a family that had been to England. And when in England, they needed some instructions, and they simply said, can you tell me where? And before he finished the sentence, they said, oh, you're Americans. And he said, excuse me? He said, you didn't say please or excuse me. You know, sometimes as Americans, we just expect the world to be there at our beck and call. But politeness is a plus. How many of you believe that good manners are priceless? Good manners are priceless. Do people learn good manners by accident? No. Do you think that parents should teach good manners to their kids? I think so. I think manners are something that are priceless. Rude behavior should not be tolerated. I always hate it when someone says, oh, they're just going through a phase. Well, get them out of that phase. Because rude behavior should not be tolerated. There are some key words for family members. How many believe there are key words for family members? Let me give you some. Please. Do you believe the word please is important? Do you think if you've asked your wife to do something, there should be a please? Or wives, if you ask your husband, shouldn't there be a please? Please. How about the word thank you? How many times people have something done within their home and they don't say thank you? Oh, and how about this one? I'm sorry. Boy, that one's hard sometimes, isn't it? I'm sorry. Now, don't use these against me today. Do you believe that home should be a safe place? I think home should be a safe place. Do you believe we live in a society where brutality is seen? Children are beaten. Wives are beaten. Oh, and husbands are beaten. Yeah. I was talking to a pastor, and he said, We were discussing a family that he and I both are acquainted with, and he said she started it, and they led him out in handcuffs. We live in a world that oftentimes is unjust. That is unjust. But home should be a safe place. Second, a family should do a lot of things together. Some spell love, T-I-M-E. Should you spend time with your family? You're getting quiet. Should you spend time with your family? One of the things that I wanted when my boys left home was that they would never be able to say, my dad didn't spend time with me. I spent a lot of time with my kids. I was a monster. I chased them all over the place. We would find different places. We'd play army. Oh, you shouldn't play army. I played army with my boys. They killed me a lot of times. You know, you spend time with your family. I think when you spend time with your family, you can have good memories. A third, all family members should be deeply committed to each other. They should be able to trust each other. How many of you, not in your family, this would never happen in your family, but how many of you know of some family when they have a family reunion or a family gathering, they have to take all the ladies' purses and put them in a locked room? Because someone that's going to be there is going to be looking for an opportunity to steal from those purses. I've known homes like that. I've known places and families that had to do that very thing. That when they had invited a certain member of the family over, they had to watch that person like a hawk. Or they would be trying to take something out of the house to hawk it, fence it. Number four, the family members need to communicate with each other. To communicate. We live in a world that I don't understand. Can I just say that we live in a world that I don't understand? Is it all right to say that? Now, I'll be the first to tell you that our cell phones are amazing things. I asked the question in Sunday school, and some people were able to look up the answer. Boom, very quickly. Do you find that amazing? What do you think Alexander Graham Bell would think about the phone today? Do you think he would just bop himself in the head with the part of his hand and say, wow, I never dreamt it could become this? But do you believe that when family gets together, there should be phone-free times? You put a basket over here and everybody throw their phone in it after they've turned it off. But why can't we do that today? Why do we battle that? Would you say we're addicted to our phones? Would you be willing to use the word addicted? Yeah, you're being quiet again. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a phone. The other day I was at Kroger's and this person was talking. I thought they were talking to me. They were saying, well, where is it? I asked them where. And they go, oh, I'm talking on the phone. I felt like, well, I'm not going to tell you what I felt like. But. The fact of the matter is we need to communicate with one another, don't we? Yes? Don't you think you ought to talk to your husband or your wife or your kids? You know, you have your grandkids over. You got to spend time with them, right? That means that you're not on the phone the whole time they're here, there, wherever. You'd be able to talk to them. So we need to communicate. Number five, our faith in the Lord should play a vital part in our family lives. I believe our children should know of our faith in Jesus Christ. I believe our grandchildren should know that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are so blessed to have great grandchildren, they should know of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be something that they say, oh, I didn't know that. I believe that it's very important that we are families. May I say this? If we want strong churches, we have to have strong families. If we want a strong nation, we need strong churches. So if we want a strong nation, we need strong families. And I believe it's important that we do this. And it doesn't just happen. It has to be worked at. Now, I know that growing up in a pastor's home is different than most of you experienced. There was never a question of our going to church. We knew we were going to church. I believe it's important that our families know that church is important and that we attend church regularly. Church becomes family. I'll be honest with you. I have been to many churches with Donna over the nearly 45 years we've been married. I don't know how we could be married 45 years and you're only 30. Not 75, sir. But over the nearly 45 years that we've been married, we've been in lots of churches. We were in a small church in California where the visitors were more than those that attended there. Okay? We've been in very large churches. I was in the church in Powell, Tennessee, where Crown College is found. I think it's Temple Baptist Church. Thousands of people. Maybe you've been in a church where thousands of people. But in all the churches we've been in, only a couple of them would I have ever been interested in joining as a member. That's because I love you guys. I love you. Some of you are strange, but I love you. No pointing fingers. And I will admit that I am the strangest one in this room, okay? You know, my brother Bob's been dead 25 years, but I remember Bob saying to me, "Nobody thinks like you, Paul." You can laugh at that. Nobody thinks like you. He said that to my dad, too, so that was good. But following on the heels of our faith in the Lord playing a vital part in our family, number six states that a family sticks together during times of crisis. That a family sticks together. And during times of hardship, the hope is that your family will remain stable, standing firm together. We need strong families in America. We need husbands and wives to love each other. Someone has well said the best gift you can give your kids is that they know you love your mate. We need to have husbands and wives that care for each other and want the best for each other, and that it is not a control game to see who's in control. Now, I'll be honest with you. You would want me to be honest, right? My wife and I don't agree on everything. I mean, can you believe that? That there are some things that she doesn't agree with. But there are some things that I don't agree with her. But we've learned to live with each other. We need families that are strong in this day and age. I was at a place where somehow the conversation came up about marriage, and I told them that I'd been married for over 40 years, and both the women to who were talking looked at me like I was strange. Well, I think we ought to be glad that we're married that long. And I say, "Pastor Paul, I'm divorced." Well, you need to show your kids love, your grandkids love. You need to be willing to show them the love of the Lord. The church is a family. We have different backgrounds. How many of you were born in the state of Michigan? You were born in the state of Michigan. Good percentage. How many of you were not born in the state of Michigan? Not as many, but welcome. But we come from different backgrounds, don't we? My grandfather came from Italy. Name like Madonna has to be an Italian name, right? Well, my other grandfather came from France. So I have a couple of grandfathers where I'm a second generation American because they came here from another country than my dad was born here and I was born here. But my grandmothers have been here many times. In fact, the Madonnas have relatives on the Corzine family that were very important in the beginning of the history of America. Anybody remember a Corzine? Signed the Declaration of Independence? No? Let's look up it up afterwards, okay? We have different backgrounds. We have different financial opinions. Some of you are so conservative, you have the first nickel that was given to you by your grandmother when you were 6 years old. Okay? I mean, when it comes to finances, you're that conservative. And some of you, if you, someone gives you a nickel, boy, it's going to be gone by the end of the day. Would you agree with that? There are some that money burns a hole in their pockets, and there are others that they're not hoarders, they're very conservative. And so we have a wide range of financial opinions. And how about educational achievements? Some of you graduated from Stevenson High School. And some of you graduated from Utica High. Some of you graduated from Ford High School. Or the surrounding area. Some of you, obviously, you came here from somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is we have different educational achievements. Some have graduated from college. Some have gone on even to get their doctorates. But hopefully we have one goal, and that's the cause of Christ. That we as the Covenant Baptist Church have one goal, and that is to see souls saved and hearts made right. And that's why we're having a mission conference this week, because we believe the greatest message we can give is that of salvation. And as you look in our bulletin and you see the list of those that are coming, from the one that wants to start a church in California to the one that's going to China or Tanzania or other countries, we have a goal, and that is to see souls saved. We can't do it all, but we can do a part. We can do a part. And my heart's desire is that you will pray as to what the Lord would have you do to help the worldwide mission of the Covenant Baptist Church. But as one of the songs say, we need to throw out the lifeline even where we're at. Around the corner or around the world, there's a job to be done. Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation. Have thine own will. Number 17, have thine own will. You can come to the altar and pray if you'd like. Maybe there's someone you'd like to pray about, or maybe you'd like to pray for one of the missionaries, or pray about something in your life that the Lord is dealing with. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to show you from the Word of God what you must do. You can pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to pray with you if you'd let us know. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless us. Bless this invitation time. Lord, may the Spirit move and hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.